Hello again, Virtual Hoopsters, and welcome to episode number 235 of the NLSC Podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always, and back with me this week, I'm not alone this week, I have Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey everyone, good to be back.
And I think, Ben, I now have the record for the longest monologue in the history of the NLSC Podcast, spanning two episodes. Well, I guess with me doing the intro, three episodes in a way. Over an hour straight, or I guess maybe even over 2 hours straight talking, and it's good to have someone to talk to. I'm not as MP3 very humorously pointed out, turning into Tom Hanks in Castaway. You know, I'm starting to talk to someone who's not there, to Wilson or Spalding, well, perhaps. Yes.
So I thought, well, Wilson in the NBL. So
I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. So yeah. Hopefully, I wasn't losing my wits too much. But it definitely is nice to have somebody to actually to talk to bounce ideas off of. And it's been, yeah. I mean, we've had a bit of news over the past week, which is. Been interesting to talk about by myself, I guess, and give just my thoughts. But good to have another voice, another take on it. And yeah, we do have some more news this week, I suppose, and maybe we can get back to some of the points that I've discussed over the past couple of weeks. I know we have some recurring things to talk about with the league combine that I'm sure we'll get your input on, with you being back on the show this week, because we do have something to mention about that. And let's should we start out with some roster talk, perhaps?
Yeah, sounds good.
So both NBA Live 18 and NBA 2K18 have received roster updates this week, accounting for the big trade in the NBA, which saw Blake Griffin go to the Pistons, and that was a surprise, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk about, you know, teams trying to go for DeAndre Jordan and that. But this Blake one came out of nowhere.
Like an RKO from Randy Orton came out of nowhere, indeed.
And yep.
Throw my WWE reference in there, because it's been a while. It came out of nowhere, obviously. Obviously the Pistons and the Clippers knew about it. They were talking about it. So that happened. So that was the big roster change this week for both Live 18 and NBA 2K18. Unfortunately, the NBA Live 18 roster seems to have some problems. And this is originally pointed out by Chris from the Gaming Tailgate. And it seems there's some duplicate players on some of the rosters, doubling up of Kawhi Leonard and other star players. Sounds like there's been an unfortunate database issue in the latest roster, Ben. Hopefully they do push a new roster update through before too long. Maybe if they can locate the problem, just push through a new update in the next perhaps 24 to 48 hours. But hopefully. But unfortunate, certainly, that's happened with the rosters, because even with the roster editing, we can't really do anything about that, because, again, it seems to be a database issue. So even Chris noted, and he has passed his feedback along to the development team, I know, and other people have backed him up on it, myself included. It's not something that we can really fix, because the roster editing is kind of bugged at the moment as well because of this database issue. So fingers crossed they fix it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, it's an easy fix. And, you know, it's just, obviously, it's being the weekend and staff not being in the office sort of stuff. So, you know, hopefully something, probably, hopefully by Tuesday, I reckon, maybe Wednesday at the latest, I reckon that will probably be fixed.
And, you know, obviously this is not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but I can also sympathize, having done unofficial roster updates for years. You can put a roster update out there and realize that you've missed a texture or a file, or I think there's a release when Gordon Hayward was first in the league, and I entered when I created him for the roster. I think I put him in there as Gordon Hardwood or something. I had his surname wrong, or Hayward instead of Hayward, something like that. I'd made a typo entering his name, and of course this wasn't pointed, well, it totally escaped my eyes, and it wasn't until somebody pointed it out in the forum that, oh, okay, so I quickly rushed the new version out, as well as a batch file that made the fix automatically for people while I was uploading the main file. So this stuff happens, and obviously, yes, you know, we preferably it should be double checked, and it's very unfortunate, but whether it's live or
really the first little say hiccup in the sense the game's had in terms of things. So.
Yeah, I mean, past roster updates has just been that they've been outdated or not come through quick enough. This is the first technical issue, and it's happened with Live and 2K in the past. And it is what it is. It's not ideal, but sometimes bad updates get through, and generally both companies have pushed through updates that have restored them or resolve those issues, I should say, fairly quickly. So, fingers crossed that they resolve that as quickly as possible, and we can get back to the editing the ratings and so forth, creating our own rosters, and of course, just playing with updated ratings with the Blake Griffin trade, of course. That's also in NBA 2K18 as of the latest roster, and 2K18 has also added the latest All-Stars. They've updated the All-Star team for 2018.
Okay, I saw that. That's good. I think it's not next week, it's the following week, isn't it, that the All-Star game will be in?
Bearing down, I understand that we're in February already, so yeah, it's getting quick.
Yeah, because it's usually 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, from memory. So yeah,
and they've pushed back the deadline so that it's after the All Star game. So no more DeMarcus Cousins being traded in the middle of the game. So of course, he will miss the game this year due to his unfortunate Achilles injury, which is very unfortunate for him and for the Pelicans as well. Although they just picked up Mirotić for Ashik and a couple of other players. I did notice that with the new players in the on the All-Star teams for NBA 2K18, they pushed the jerseys through as well, and it looks like they've actually got the proper team logo. So they seem to have updated the technology this year to have the proper jerseys and the logos represented. So that's pretty cool.
Considering it's a different format, and I think it's not something we kind of got to talk about at all in the last couple of podcasts in regards to when they were sort of being unveiled and that. So given that how different this year's format is, that with even West players playing in the East and East players playing in the West this year because of the new format, it definitely makes it a more complex way of doing the traditional All-Star game jerseys, that's for sure.
And handling the teams, because it's not the East and the West anymore, it's Team LeBron and Team Steph, I guess, which is going to be really weird in the history of the results, I think, in the history books of going down as instead of the East and the West, and which is, I think, something I don't necessarily like about the new format. But as I said in the previous shows, I am hoping the new format does work out and we have a more exciting game, and it sounds like the players are a bit more into it. It remains to be seen, because you and I have gone on record many times about our feelings about the All-Star game in recent years.
Yeah, the last three years.
Last three or four, perhaps, how we felt very disappointed in them. But it is cool, because I thought maybe they were going to have a placeholder, like the All-Star logo on the jerseys instead of the team logo. I thought maybe they might not have been able to implement that this year. It'd be interesting to see what Live does, because I'm guessing they'll also do the same thing with the All-Star teams.
Hopefully, it's sort of similar tech to like what they do with the Live Run events, where they have different players from different teams in the Live event run. So, yeah, hopefully it is something that they can replicate as well. It looks like they'd be able to, given the types of shirts and stuff that players wear, and even like the jerseys too. You have like the retro players wearing individualized jerseys, like Stockton and all that stuff, wouldn't it?
That's a good point. I mean, maybe it is like the old custom art method back in Live
3-4. I miss those days.
Where you could easily assign a jersey to be worn in game in the NBA games, and not just the practice mode, but the games as well. You could have the individual jerseys for players. Might be something.
And so they could all have technically different textures and stuff like that. So, the folds and the jerseys weren't all the same.
I mean, it could be that. And I guess some of the guys in the forum might be able to look into the files using the 2K Explorer and have a look at that and see what's up. As far as people making jerseys for the old Live games and also some of the early 2K, not so early 2Ks, but these days 2K13, 2K14 are starting to get towards being early 2K. It's been on PC for a while now. But the patches they've been making for those, the mods, they've been putting like Team LeBron or Team Steph on the front, or just the All-Star jersey, All-Star logo, I should say. And that's a pretty good workaround if you don't have the tech.
That's true.
But so I thought they might be doing something like that with Live and 2K, but it looks like they might actually have the new Live and 2K, I should say. So it looks like they actually have the tech to do it. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I guess they got a heads up on it as well in the off-season.
Yeah, yeah.
That definitely helps. So it is good to see, as always, the roster's coming through fairly swiftly, and hopefully Live is updated with the fix and then the All-Star as well. I know not everyone's happy with the rosters at the moment with the ratings, and something I've noticed, and I mentioned in the forum, it does seem like a lot of players really have overinflated ratings these days, and I'm wondering if it's because the players are so involved in the process and interested in the games, like they weren't necessarily, it's become a big thing to have ratings reveals and everything, whether they're maybe boosting some ratings so that players don't get offended, you know, because I think there's probably have been players in the past who looked at their rating. Joel Prisbilla in 2005, an offensive awareness rating of 18, kind of looking at that and being bummed out, maybe. So maybe they're sort of boosting some of the ratings artificially just to make players happy. I mean, is that a possibility? And certainly, I don't think they should be pandering to players like that. I mean, the point is to have them reflect their abilities, and sometimes that's kind of harsh.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is a big question. I mean, you know, especially the teams that are on the 2K, like,
Team 2K.
You know, 2K, yeah, you know, whether they're some of their ratings, like even the whole team, maybe a slight bump in terms of things. Like, I noticed that they're kind of a little bit more challenging in like my career and that, in terms of playing it, going up against them. So whether, yeah, there's that small artificial sort of bump to sort of promote their guys and all that stuff, that's been a question on my mind for a while.
Well, see, that's also the intangibles rating, apparently, in 2K is basically kind of a clutch rating, but also mostly just a rating to fudge overalls, I've been told. So that is something that... It's kind of useful in that respect, actually, if it doesn't really do anything but makes overalls go up and down, because you know how people get very... you know, not just players, but gamers as well, get really into overall ratings. He should be an 86 overall, and he's only 85. You know, it's like that.
Yeah.
that's a big problem. So does he still kind of play like himself? Because that's really at the end of the day, what's important. Overall ratings, overall overrated sometimes. But
yeah, I think it's more if it's like sort of 3 or 4 plus, you know, difference in terms of raid grading or. Or if it's like if you break it down to like a single category where it's like someone, you know, is supposed to be like a good 3-point shooter and then not, kind of thing, where it's like, well, that doesn't seem right.
Oh, definitely.
Like if someone said, you know, Lonzo is like an 86 3-point shooter, I'm like, no.
It's funny you mention that, because in the latest 2K update, he did get a boost to his 3-point rating, which is strange because his percentages remain the same, and he's also been out.
Yeah.
So not sure how he earned that one.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, are you sure about that? How outdated is this information, given he's missed about a week or two now?
At least, yeah. Yeah, he's been missing quite a few games with his injury. So, at the same time, I also know you're never going to make everyone happy with the ratings, and sometimes you do fudge things a little bit, or you make a decision of something never going to make everyone happy, and also you can overlook things or get things wrong. So I can sympathize in that, and I guess at the end of the day, it's another situation where as a community we can give feedback to the developers and mention, okay, can you look at this player and whatnot, and hopefully they can take that under advisement. So speaking of updates for the games, we also got another patch for NBA 2K18. This is patch 1.09. No patch notes as such for this one, because it is basically just a compatibility update or a feature update for the NBA 2K League Combine, which is what's happening this month. It's underway right now, in fact. It's the follow-up to the qualifier. You've got... how many players did they say had qualified?
It was like 100 and something, wasn't it?
Oh, there's 102 spots they've got at the moment, but I think they might have said 70,000 people are qualified. It was certainly a large amount on the... I'll look it up in a sec after I toss the mic to you. So there's a lot of people, taking part in the combine, and the patch has added the NBA 2K League Combine to the main menu. If you didn't qualify, as you and I did not, if you try to go to that, it'll bring up a message. Thanks for your interest, but you haven't qualified. You'll have a chance in future years. Of course, depending on how successful the NBA 2K League proves to be, I suppose. Guessing that they're in it for the long haul, though. But anyway, it is there in the main menu, so people are already getting into it. I have heard that some people are having trouble getting into it, but other people have been playing it. It's even the files are actually in the PC version as well, even though the PC version isn't part of the 2K League. So we've actually got the files in there. And as I noted, you create the player with the based on on the archetypes, the 25 archetypes across the five positions. So, I mean, first things first, I guess, the thing that's bothering most people is, yes, it's added this for the 2K League Combine, which is a necessary part of the 2K League that they're running at the moment, or ready to tip off in the near future. But, of course, it's another big patch, 5.7 gigabytes on PS4, as opposed to 170 megabytes on PC. And I'm guessing the X1 version is probably about, usually about 2.5 to 3 at the moment, I think. I think they've got it in between PC and PS4, although it's still pretty big, over 2 gigs at least. For another big patch, basically, that adds this important thing for the 2K Combine, the League Combine, but no other fixes to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a missed opportunity. I still think there's quite a few issues with the, we'll call it, obviously, the retail version of the game that needs to be addressed. You know, so the kind of feels like it's being, I don't want to say ignored, because that could be the wrong word, but like it's less of a priority right now in terms of they're obviously focusing more entirely on the 2K League stuff, obviously, because that's got a tight deadline, but probably also more starting to focus on 2K19 at this stage. That's, you know, a possibility in that sort of sense, especially the second thing that I mentioned. But there'd be a couple of things that I'd still like to see them address and fix, or, you know, even if it's just a slight improvement, like, in terms of things. Like, for me, the clipping side of things still needs to be addressed. The fumble pass catching ability, I think, needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Obviously, the shooting mechanic element needs to be addressed.
I don't think, unfortunately, that one and some of the physics, I don't think are going to be reworked until 2K19.
Yeah.
I think it's an engine thing. And the way they've done it with white releases, full bar releases basically being a nerfed perfect release just to make sure that the percentages aren't realistic, I think that's going to have to change in 2K19. But
I really think so too. Really hope so.
But the fumble animations and things like that, the frequency of lost balls and things like that, surely can be tuned a little bit, and they're not really touching it. So it's going to be interesting if they do for the 2K League game, because that's going to be a separate version. So if they get the really good version and we don't, it's going to. I mean, that's something that I've talked about in the last couple of podcasts, and we've talked about as we've played online with each other and our friends. The frustration of feeling like the paying consumer doesn't get the best version of the game. Well, that's kind of what it feels like might be happening. And maybe it's just paranoia, but it's hard to push that thought out of your head.
Yeah, we kind of get the ignored version or the beta version, as a lot of people are saying, because, you know, a couple of the patches that they did for last year's game obviously sort of broke and fixed a few things, but it was probably all around a more solid build game compared to this year in that sort of sense. This year, yeah, is definitely, yeah, it had taken that step back in terms of polish or in terms of things. So yeah, a lot of people are referencing it that, you know, we paid, you know, between $210 or, yeah, $210 if you include, like, do the Australian conversion for the Gold Legend Edition and that, for a beta and that, so.
Plus however much microtransactions in between.
Yeah, so that's kind of disappointing if we're not getting what I guess could be the equivalent improvements in the League, or the 2K League version and that. So it'd be show of goodwill if they could, you know, do a couple of those improvements in the quality of the game in terms of it. Just to sort of, you know, cap off the element of polish in that sort of sense, just, you know, sort of get that stigma and tarnish and stuff that the game's had this year in terms of
goodwill, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they claim to be show pride in their game, and, you know, that, you know, it's the greatest game on the planet, da da da. And it's like, well, it's not this year, that's for sure.
You got to back that up with you got to continue it. I mean, it's a yearly release, so it's not necessarily always the case.
Yeah, I can, you know, for me, you know, if Naughty Dog did that kind of thing, you know, in terms of not having the polish and, you know, not making the improvements. You know, I can see not just myself, but a lot of people being disappointed. You know, they've got that, you know, that reputation of really polished games and high quality games and that. So, you know, for a studio that's claiming to be, you know, the greatest game on the planet kind of thing, you know, they've got to compete with obviously studios like Naughty Dog, even Rockstar North in that sort of sense as well. So, yeah, you know, some of the Bethesda or Blizzard sort of companies as
Obsidian,
well.
So, yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, it's you make a big claim, you've got to back it up constantly. Mm-hmm. It's like if you call yourself the best player in the league and, you know, you've got to be winning titles year after year, really, and really dominating the league. You can't just put it out there and point to your past accomplishments. You got to, as long as you're in the league, you've got to keep defining your legacy, I suppose, and that's the position that 2K finds itself in. I'm just looking at...
Never settle, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
That sort of championship mentality, you know, what can I do to improve kind of element. You know, it's things that they kind of try and, you know, do in their sort of marketing element, and, you know, if it's not coming through in the end, then you could see a lot of people just leaving in terms of things. You know, Live got that, had that stigma where, you know, the games weren't polished and people walked away from it.
And as they try to win back the crowd, Live needing to add that polish to keep bringing people back and making that good impression, you know. It's based, I mean, putting all metaphors aside, when you look at it as a consumer, no matter what the company is, no matter which developer you're talking about, everyone needs to be held to that standard of treating the customers right and doing the right thing by the customers. I mean, that's why EA was lambasted for the Battlefront.
Yeah,
the Battlefront 2. I mean, we've talked about that before as it regards to or compares to the situation with Live and 2K. But they erred there. They made mistakes in the way they were going to approach that, and they paid for it, as have other companies, as has 2K for their microtransactions. And it really comes down to, well, you can't say, well, 2K has made these great games in the past, but so that makes it okay. Or Live has problems, so 2K it's okay for 2K to have problems, or vice versa, because it becomes whataboutism, where you're trying to justify somebody's bad behavior by saying, oh, well, other people are doing it too, and that's really not it's not logical. It's not good logic. Basically, it's not fair reasoning. I'm just looking at the tweet here. I was right in my estimation, or pretty close anyway. 72,000 qualified for the NBA 2K League Combine, and 102 will earn a roster spot. So that's going to be taking place over the next few weeks. Something that I've talked about last week in particular was the archetypes, the 25 archetypes that I mentioned earlier in the show. So with you back being off the show, I thought I'd get your insight. I mean, I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen to last week's show, but basically I was pointing out, well, is this a sign that they know that some of the archetypes, some of the 186 archetypes are unbalanced? You know, is that the takeaway here, and the fact that to make the league competitive and a good show of virtual basketball, they have to trim it down from that 186 to just these stars, or this star is going to be the most entertaining? It just struck me that obviously that they're really trying to control the archetypes, and it makes you think that it kind of points to a lack of balance in the commercial game.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thought. I'm thinking, you know, just as a, you know, what could be another possibility. Crap, I had it. Now I'm going to try and remember it. Whether it's, you know, whether they're basing it off the most commonly used archetypes, as, you know, that's a potential thing. I just thought maybe could be an idea, but obviously,
that's fair. Actually, I went straight for the cynical point of view. Actually, I never really considered that.
Well, I admit, like, I probably would have. I think I did as well when we sort of had a light discussion about it Friday and that. But yeah, it was just popped in my mind as like, oh, maybe that with all the metadata and stuff that they get from all the players' usage and from all the profiles and accounts and all that stuff, that maybe those are the most commonly used archetypes and that. So again, just small theory.
That was it. This is why we need two people on the show, because it's not just my paranoid conspiracy theories. It's not me in front of a mic for 45 minutes ranting about something.
But no, I think, you know, it could also be a possibility that element that the you know, these are the archetypes that work the best, and you definitely want to try and have that element of the game looking good. Because like when we watched the Pro-Am tournament thing last year when they were playing against the NBA players, and how, you know, we all made the comment that that looks really cheesy, when then the NBA players are like, what kind of thing?
They're trying to play realistically in the 2K. The game is a gaming, basically, cheese, gaming the system. Yeah, absolutely.
Exploit cheese and extra mozzarella and Swiss cheese. So, yeah, you know, it could be maybe a little bit element of both in that sort of things. In that sort of thing, well, these are the less archetypes that are broken, but these are potentially some of the ones that are most commonly used as well. So
I suppose so. Yeah, that's a good point that I definitely hadn't considered. And we will see how it works out. That's some tough competition, though. The 72,000 down to 102. You're gonna have to be.
Yeah, you can have a lot of people think that are claiming, "Oh, it should have been me. Should have been me."
But it's. I think ultimately the cream will rise to the top on that one, with the ones that really have what it takes to be a professional gamer. And if that's the case, then the league might be pretty fun to watch. I mean, I'll certainly, as I said before, I'm not sure about how interested I'll end up being in it, but I'll check it out. I'll give it a look and see. You know, I don't know how much we'll cover it, because it's not really something our community really follows. We're more about either just playing the game or certainly modding it, but
yeah,
it's worth checking out, I guess.
Yeah, I think the interest is sort of see how they try and, like, how the players try and play. I mean, whether maybe interesting to sort of see how it goes between, like, the first game and maybe, like, have they said how many games they're playing in the whole tournament?
Might have. I don't remember offhand, but I'm guessing it runs for a few months.
Okay. Well, say for instance, like, maybe that they say they play like 30 something games or 29 games or something, you know, then, you know, between game one to maybe game 8 or 10 or something, or 12, you know, it might be interesting to see the contrast difference between how different they play, you know, and obviously throw into the fact that, you know, these guys also may have just got familiar playing on the same team together and all that stuff, so building that chemistry element. So that'll probably be the area where I'd probably, if I was to watch, would probably engage, just to sort of see whether they play and cheese or play selfish, and then whether
the teamwork as well, like how well it's going to be. So you're going to be put up in the city that you get drafted by, just like if you're drafted by the team. You're going to be put up with a salary and accommodation. So obviously it's going to run for a little while, because it's not just going to be something where they put you up in a hotel for a couple of weeks. You know, this is it's a job, basically. It's professional gaming.
Yeah.
So I will be interested to see how much teamwork there is, because I've heard from people who have got into the Combine, and I'm looking at some of the 2K, official 2K Reddit posts and people. It does sound like a lot of it's in the Combine very similar to Walk-On, where people are just like driving into the defense of four people and hogging the ball a bit, or certainly in some of the people's experience anyway. So I imagine those people can get weeded out, and it's going to be those team players, the ones that can really work as part of a team, just like any competitive gaming and professional competitive gaming. It's going to be the people who can work as a team and really strategize and not just be out for themselves that end up getting those 102 spots.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking too, like, after the tournament, like, again, we don't know how long he's exactly running. How long are they on the team roster for until basically next year? So whether that person then has to, you know, especially if they're not going to be, if they have to go through the whole process again of qualifying through the two rounds and then getting drafted again by the team kind of stuff, or...
Will they bring people on and give them preference or keep some of the better gamers on?
And will they have to move back to their original place? So, you know, that's kind of like a big logistic element too that I just sort of thought of. Like, that could be a nightmare if, you know, if they've moved everything from where they live now to where they'll be drafted to say maybe 3 months' time, 4 months' time, that they have to kind of move back or something like that.
How are they going to handle all that? I mean, I'm guessing they've already worked out those logistics as...
You kind of want to hope so.
I'd certainly hope so, since people's livelihood is going to be, living arrangements are going to be on the line there.
Yeah, and especially if someone's got a mortgage on a place or renting a place, you know, to inform them that long-term thing is like, oh, you'll be on the team for such and such time.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to people being willing to accept the life of a pro gamer, I suppose. Just the same as entering professional sports. I mean, it's not quite the same. I would, you know, with all, let's give due respect to professional athletes here. You know, professional gaming, different kind of league. But
and just to take it one step further, Wans, if is all they teams trade gamers, like players?
It doesn't sound like that's going to be the way.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing if they're putting people up to play on the same team, they're going to be in the same room, I suppose, with all different consoles set up around with their own monitors. I mean, I'm guessing that's the way they're going to do it. I don't think they're all going to be online.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be probably facing other people through the server, but I'm guessing that it's going to be, you know, they're taking part against each other all in the same
room. Well, maybe, like,
room,
or? Because they have access to the team facilities. Maybe they have a room dedicated at the team facilities and that... for it, and they have just have the consoles, TVs, and
but
network.
Are the competitions going to be taking place all in the same room, or?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing as well.
So I guess we'll find out a bit more about that once everybody qualifies, and I guess maybe we would have known a bit more if we looked into the application process. But again, not being in the US and not being anywhere near qualifying anyway, it's sort of really not been something we've looked into that deeply. Do you think the community is going to take to the 2K League, or do you think it's going to be one of those things? Because even among gamers, competitive gaming and televising competitive gaming is still kind of a niche interest within the gaming community. I mean, it's big. It's big, but not everyone.
Oh, yeah. You've seen some big money prizes.
Absolutely.
Some of the big commercial television channels in the US are picking up on
ESPN
it.
ESPN has done it and everything, which makes sense.
I think even TNT, I think as well, has done a couple, or CBS, I think.
But sports gaming is certainly a niche within gaming, and not everybody who plays games is interested in games is interested in watching other people play games, although that is very popular with Let's Plays and streaming and everything these days, I suppose, but... Yeah, I mean, is it something that people are really going to be that interested in?
I think there might be a few people that watch early on, and then there might be a drop-off in interest. That's my personal... And then maybe, like, during the final, you might get a couple more back, just to sort of... just the curiosity to see who wins it. In terms of numbers in like, viewers and stuff, maybe just sort of off the top of my head, you might get... maybe say like first week or two, you might get like 2.5 million viewers, and then maybe like after that, you might sort of plateau or maxed out to about 1 million, 1.5 million at best, just depending if it's a team of interest or of like what would be maybe considered like a superstar team, like if there's two teams match up, like two top tier teams match up against each other, there might be a little bit more of a peak. But
I guess that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of shows that do between 1.5 to 3 million viewers on a weekly basis. So I guess those are okay numbers for what they're aiming for. So
that's Australian numbers. Like I guess Australian TV numbers. And given to
Simpsons at the moment does about 3 million a week. New Simpsons
in the US.
In the US, yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
But mind you, The Simpsons is definitely past its prime, so that maybe not the best. WWE Raw, which is admittedly on cable, USA Network, it does about between 2.5 and 3.5 million a week at the moment, compared to the 5 to 8 million that it was doing back in the late 90s, the Attitude Era. Television has changed, obviously, with streaming services and everything. So I think that's actually a decent number for a niche interest in the US. You know, again, that's comparable to wrestling, which is pretty popular and decently mainstream. So I think that'd be a decent number. And maybe we are looking at it from the perspective of our community, which is really, again, focused on just playing ourselves and modding. So that could be, you know, if you go, you look at OS, there might be some more interest in it. And I know OS has some good articles looking at the feasibility of the league and the popularity of it and everything. So maybe we are underrating it a little bit. But I think from a personal standpoint, it's something I'll check out. But... I mean, I guess I'm a bit old school. I prefer to play games rather than watch them. It's really, you know, I don't really get into Let's Plays. I mean, I do like some of the speedrunners, like the Awesome Game Done Quick, you know, the marathons they do to raise money and the speedruns, you know, that's impressive to see that kind of stuff and watch that. But apart from that, I'm not a big Let's Play fan or anything like that. I'm kind of old school that I'd rather play the game myself, basically. So,
Well, for me, I'm very similar, but I admit, like, the last few months, I have been watching a female Danish streamer, and you've known a little bit about this and that for a few months, and then...
Yeah, she follows us.
Yeah, and I've even gotten in on a few of her streams and participate in some of the games that she plays in that. So this, I think it could depend on the type of game. You know, if it's maybe not a game you're in particular familiar with or something like that, or, you know, if it's not on a platform you play, but you had maybe an interest in it, but don't want to, like, say if it was like on a console or something like that that you couldn't really afford because you've already made your choice for one kind of stuff or something like that. You know, and so it's a game you've wanted to sort of see how it goes, someone who plays it and that sort of thing, or maybe a game you just sort of want to know a little bit more about and that sort of thing, that there could be an element of that. Just sort of, yeah. And I think depending, again, coming down to the type of game and the community of, like, of the streamer in that, you know, like how chill and relaxed and sort of the banter and stuff between the, not just the streamer, but the members who do stream and the followers and that. Yeah. I think that also contributes to a positive stream and just, you know, somewhere just sort of unwind. Like when we do, when we play our pro-am things, you know, sort of banter jokes and all that sort of stuff that
of
we
course,
do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it has, I think that can contribute to it, I think. But whether that reflects in a basketball sort of, I think it'd be a different story. I definitely see it based on a game where there's like choices in the story and that, like the streamer might want feedback on what option to take. But in a sports game, I can just see people sort of going, pass it to such and such and all that sort of thing. So,
well, people kind of wanting to, you know, saying, well, if we want to watch basketball, we'll watch real basketball. We'll watch the real NBA kind of thing. I think there will be the interest, and it will depend, I think, on how good the action is, whether it is kind of, if it does turn out to be a lot of cheese and hogging the ball. I think people say, well, I can just go and watch a pro-am stream for this, or I can go and play it myself and experience it. But
exactly.
I do think it will be relatively successful. Obviously, they put money into it. The downside is it does feel, again, like the regular customers are kind of getting screwed out of the focus. The focus seems to be on building this experience for these hardcore competitive gamers, which is a nice thing to do on the side, but there's been people supporting the game for years and pumping money into it and supporting it with this recurrent revenue, I should say. And again, to bring it back to the original point, you know, everyone downloads this patch, but only 72,000 out of, what, 8 million people who play the game are going to be able to...
Yeah, the benefit of it. Yeah.
So it's kind of pointless. Almost to the fact that you wish it kind of been like, it could have been like the Prelude, where just if you qualify, you just can download this... this free DLC to play it, and the Combine is separate because we've had to download this patch.
That does nothing.
It does nothing.
For us, for the regular users and that. So yeah, I think this is where they kind of missed the mark, that they should have included a couple of little gameplay improvements here and there, in terms of, so that way it's the patch is beneficial for everyone instead of just being a wasted extra 5.5 gigs or nearly 6 gigs on everyone's console.
That's right. It feels like maybe they could have, the last couple of patches have kind of really been about the 2K League, which again is affecting such a small percentage of people. Only 72,000 qualifying. Eventually it's only going to be something that 102 people really benefited from in the end of the day. I mean, I guess it's fun for people to at least compete, but at the same time, that there's 70,000 out of however many the game is sold at the moment, I think over 8 million, as I said. That's usually what it's been selling these days. I mean, it is a drop in the bucket, really. It's not even not even 10%, you know, of the users. So to not include anything else...
Not even 1%, really.
To not even include anything else in the patch, any other fixes or content updates or something, it's... It just kind of reinforces this idea that they're just focusing on the 2K League instead of the majority of the people who have been supporting the game and are playing it the way games have been played for decades now. And we already feel that we're kind of screwed over with the grinding and the microtransactions and everything else. And yeah, it's just another way that the goodwill just hasn't been there, that it's the focus hasn't really been on the core consumer and the core experience, that it is just kind of worrying looking ahead to 2K19. I just hope that they don't forget about us, basically.
Yeah, well, I know a few of us aren't even considering getting it, 2K19, and not at this stage. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm one of them. Like, I think I'd, well, definitely not at launch. Let's just say that, like, I'll wait, you know, and sort of see what happens, whether there's things improved in terms of whether it's going to be the paywalls and stuff to really progress, and the outrageous pricing for the cosmetic items and stuff like that. So,
I mean, I don't know if I'll probably get it because to create content and to have it on hand to do a review or whatever, whether I end up really playing much of it remains to be seen. It's just something that I do get every year because I guess being one of the primary content creators for the site, it's, I guess, kind of a necessity for me to do.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking maybe not even bothering pre-ordering because the pre-order to my team packs weren't really worth it this year for me. I got pretty much garbage every time from them. The 5,000 VC doesn't really go anywhere. No. So it's, I feel like, unless the pre-order allows me to also save money like it did with Live, I'm not sure whether it's going to be really worth doing that. I mean, it's not like the either a digital or physical copy of 2K is going to sell out anytime soon. Oh, I suppose the other pre-order is that I can get it the early tip-off, which means if I'm doing content, I can do it early. So there is that. But apart from that, the incentive isn't really there because the in-game bonuses aren't worth it.
Yeah, like I've seen like YouTubers saying it's 6,000 VC you get. We didn't get that.
Was it 5 or 6?
We've been getting 5,000 for the last 4 years. But yeah, I've seen YouTubers say 6,000 or something, or when you start, or 8,000. I'm like, definitely don't get that.
It might have been 6. It definitely wasn't 8.
But it's only been five. Been getting.
Either way, it didn't stretch very far at all. That's the main thing. I mean, unless it's like 30,000 VC, that would give you a bit of a boost. 30,000, that wouldn't be too bad. Yeah. But 5,000 or 6,000 is just not enough to give them much of a boost straight away.
No.
So, I mean, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it with 2K19. But it is that there in the back of your mind that it's that the focus isn't going to be on the core consumer and the majority of the user base and the core experience is going to be about pushing this. Expanding the brand and trying to do things that are not related to what the majority of the fan base, the experience they want, which is the game they're playing. So
yeah, and you know, and
I don't know. Given... It's disheartening, but I'm hoping that it's just a cynical and paranoid thought. But it's hard to shake that with seeing how hard they're going about the 2K League and seeing what's happened with 2K18. I hope that the backlash has a positive effect. Basically, I hope the negative reaction can lead to a positive result.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to. The other thing, like we said, that 2K19 for us needs to be like a real polish here in terms of it. So that'd be the other considering factor is how much polish have they put into the game for the consumer level. But also, what was the other point I was going to have is... polished...
Just about the goodwill of
the misleading sort of stuff that they've done the last couple of years. That's the sort of thing as well, that the miscommunication or misleading information, or just confusing information because they haven't interpreted it well enough or haven't explained it enough. You know, it's just very vague, or they don't go into a lot of detail with it, or it's like right up at basically, like I think last year and this year, we sort of more found out information about the game after playing it as opposed to the build-up period before it. I think it was mainly 2K17 in particular where a few of those things happened. And I think with this year, because we were looking at doing the online league, but online dynasty or franchisee.
My League Online in 2K17, we didn't know. The information was there. And even this year with some of the shooting mechanics it was up to NBA 2K Labs to reveal how the release system worked, that good is actually the nerfed excellent release. So basically, a nerfed well-timed release. So that kind of stuff needs to be put out there front and center so that people understand the mechanics a lot better than it is.
Just that general information. Yes, do even if it's bad. You got they need to.
We need to know, need basically.
They need to be honest about it in terms of it and say, look, we've made these changes for this kind of reason. We want to test this year and seeing if this works better. Even if it's saying, we want to test this thing and seeing if this works better in trying to minimize this sort of element. If they do that, rationalize it.
Which is what they're doing. They are trying to do it that way. It has been to wean people off green releases and change the mechanics to something less cheesy. I just don't think it's been the right approach to do it. But with that in mind, I guess I will put out once again that we are collecting feedback for the NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19 wish lists, currently in the Live 18 and 2K18 forums respectively. Hasn't been a lot of contributions so far, so I do want to stress to people, we want to get those in as quickly as possible. So if you do actually have the feedback, the constructive feedback posted, it doesn't have to be positive, it just not a profane rant against EA or 2K. Just explain what you want to see. That's so that we can give that good cross section of the community, because I would like to submit those as soon as possible, but I want some more community participation. So check those out in the Live 18 and 2K18 sections of the forum. They're stickied, the Live 19 and 2K19 wish lists. So yeah, get on it.
Yeah, it's things we've mentioned in past podcasts. Be clear about what you want. If you have screenshots and video of examples of what you're trying to explain that you want things worked upon, or if it's like a glitch sort of moment or elements of gameplay where it's not clear, or you can sort of break it down, submit that stuff. That helps as well. So that way developers can actually sort of see what you're actually trying to explain, especially if if it's a language barrier element to it, that helps as well. And just like fix your servers kind of thing. It's like, or this game's broke, or indicate and detail where and how, and provide information that would clearly help into improving the game. I'll be working on mine probably next week.
I haven't put my lists in the thread yet either, although I have done Friday Fives, which have alluded to some of my ideas the last couple of weeks. But I need to get on it myself to get the ball rolling. But usually we have a bit more people talking about that stuff, so definitely get into that. I'll post a few more reminders on our social media. But as Ben said, make sure if there's any other supplementary materials, screenshots, videos, just to illustrate your point if that's necessary. As much detail as possible without going into a long-winded rant that doesn't get to the point fairly concisely.
I could jokingly say either a Leftos or Andrew monologue.
That's right. You don't want it to be a complete monologue that takes 45 minutes. That's my thing. My thing anyway. Now, so with all that being said, I guess it's time to, having looked at some of the news and discussed the future of gaming, to talk about our past week in basketball gaming.
Alley-oop! Oh, what a play!
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
And it is our week in gaming this week, not just my week, because we've got a couple of us on the show as normal. And we did the unthinkable, and that was to play some 2K Pro-Am after we swore we never would again, at least in 2K18. The ex brought it up and said he was up for a game or two, and a few of us, you and I and Leo as well, Valor.
Well, he was very specific and said he'd be up for one game.
We ended up playing three, that's right, yeah.
Yep.
First game... Well, the first game didn't go too badly. Then we played two more and won. And the two games that we won, there was a bit of rust and I guess a few things that bothered us, but it wasn't actually too bad. It kind of reminded me that it's okay to jump in every once in a while for the moment. It's maybe we're not going to enjoy it every week, and maybe we need to give it away. If we do try it and one game just really pisses us off, maybe we should just let it go for the night and play something else. But we gave it a bit of a go because we felt like getting on and chatting to each other and playing a game, and it worked out okay for at least two of the three games.
Yeah, I mean, the first game, was definitely blown off the cobwebs and that sort of thing. Because, I don't think any of us had really actually played the game since that last session.
No, I'd only fired it up to show my cousin something when he was down to stay, and also to get some screenshots for articles. So I hadn't played online. So
yeah, well, I have put like turned on the game and gone into the menus and that, but I haven't actually physically played the game. I tried like the t-shirt creator stuff because I was wanting the store to see, and I created a couple of new shirts, having to delete some of the ones. So I was just trying to figure out that thing, but yeah, not actually played a game in since that session that we had that rough night in that sense, and playing with John. That's pretty much it. That was the last time I've actually played the game.
But in between some frustrating moments, it's still there because it's the stuff we've talked about before, nothing new there. But we did have some good moments. I thought some really good plays. The X was the hero in the last game, basically.
Yeah, we set the game in OT.
We let the game slip, basically. It slipped away from us, and we thought, oh, here we go. This is going to be the one game extra that we played after winning one and should have ended on a high, and it's going to be the one we regret. We had the timeout with, I think, about 8 seconds left in the game. They were up by three after a couple of free throws, and 65-62. So we had one shot left. It was either going to go to X or myself. I'm very glad it went to X because he was shooting a lot better that game. Just nailed it from the top of the key to three to tie it, ended up sending it into overtime. Bit of a back and forth early on in the overtime, but then we pulled away. I was scoreless in regulation. I just... The other point guard was just outplaying me. I'll just say it now. I was getting some assists, but he was doing it all. I just couldn't hit a shot through regulation. I did hit a couple of threes in overtime to help us push out the lead, and you got some dunks and X and Leo scored as well. So we pulled it out. Was it, I think, about 83-72 or something? It was the final.
It was a large margin. I remember that when you said the score, I was like, "What, really?" I didn't think it was that. Like, I thought maybe it was like a 8-point difference at most, but yeah,
it
was a lot.
By the end, we did push it out to a 13-point lead at one point. We just we really came on in the overtime and just didn't let up. We got the win after, you know, I think X's three pumped us up, and we thought, oh yes, we've got to do this. You know, we've got to get this now because you know we hit that clutch shot and we got it going, and it was
I think too, like we sort of clawing it back and then getting out. I think we kind of focused and we were excited, but it had the adrenaline on in that sort of sense. But yeah, we'd focused and knuckled down, and I think that's what helped. And I think our talk may have gone from less sort of casual talk to more sort of focus on getting a little bit of the play
which in hindsight, I guess some of the joking around probably does, instead of strategizing, probably does mean it probably has contributed to some of our losses, to be honest. But at the same time, it's fun, you know, to joke around like that. But yeah, we certainly really started to, we were locked in that overtime and got the win as a result. And it was very satisfying, a satisfying way to end. And it's put me back in the mood that okay, maybe once in a while we can try out Pro-Am, just have a game or two if it's going well, if we're matched up against opponents that are more our speed. And it something else that I have covered in recent the last couple of podcasts is the idea of having better matchmaking in 2K, and I think they really do need that, so that it's just not the wide range of pro, amateur, and elite in Pro-Am. And of course in my park there's really no matchmaking at all. You just get thrown in there, and if there's really good, experienced, high-rated players holding court, well, you've really got to try and beat them, or that's it, they're going to hold court. You know, you don't really have that situation where you're matched up against people of a similar skill level. Mm. So it's very alienating to newer gamers, and even more experienced ones like us, and perhaps because we do play a bit more casually than others, I guess, maybe part of the issue there. But even so, you look at something like Rocket League that has the competitive setting, the competitive online gaming, but also you can have the casual online as well, and there's ranking systems that really match you up against opponents that are basically your skill level. So you kind of get a pretty good game. And there's sometimes you might get opponents that have somehow ranked up and you're better than them, or they're much better than you, or you've got people who've tanked their rating so they can play easier opponents. Hard to do stuff about that, but it's... The matchmaking, I think, does need to be better in that respect. But there's one thing we can say about the consoles is that we don't have people using the cheat engine to break the connection and other things. Because I've seen a lot of people who've been playing online in PC, for my team especially, and just as they've been able to, just before they've finished a game that they're winning, it's just like people pulling the cord, but they're actually using cheat engine and other programs to change a parameter so that they get disconnected and avoid the loss. And it's just like being the jerk who flips the board in Monopoly when you're losing. You know, nobody wants to play with that guy, and it shows that the culture of online gaming that I don't like. I mean, you and I, we grew up in an era, and this is all back in our day. But
yeah.
I mean, we grew up in an era where when you played multiplayer, you were sitting either in front of the computer or next to someone on a couch. You know, somebody was sitting next to you. So yeah. If somebody wasn't playing fair, somebody is being a jerk. You know, you stopped playing with them. You stopped inviting them around.
You
stopped
them punch. You punch them in the shoulder.
Or that too. You know, they were within striking distance. But that is the thing, is that you had to see the people you were playing with and against. You had to be friends with them, or you know, like them well enough, acquaintances, I suppose. You know, the kid down the street who has the Nintendo. I had the Nintendo growing up, so I was fine. But that's the thing. You had to be with the other person, so you had to have that level of respect and sportsmanship to some extent, because if you were the jerk who always trying to pull crap, you'd stop getting the invitation round, or people would stop coming in over to play with you. They wouldn't want to. Same as playing games in the schoolyard. You know, the jerk who ruins the game by being a dick, basically.
Yeah.
People stop wanting to play. People stop wanting to play with them online. That's a bit harder to do, and there is that anonymity, and you can be that jerk and everything, and it is what's off-putting about online gaming culture, and why I've, as much as I have done it, and I can't say that I'm not an online gamer for all the 2K Pro Am games I've played now, and same playground such. You know, we've played too much online to say that we're not into that ourselves, but I think that's why I do come back to the single-player modes like My Team, although there is a multiplayer component to that, and Ultimate Team. My Team and Ultimate Team, and the franchise modes, and My Career, the career modes that you can play alone and without anyone, is because you don't have to worry about running into, you know, these
a child.
Often children, yeah, who haven't really learned that respect, and they haven't grown up, you know, playing on the couch, where there is that ramification of A, like you say, either getting a slug in the arm if you're being a jerk, or at the very least, spoiling a friendship or not getting the invitation because people just don't want to play with you. It's that fundamental generational difference, I think, that. Which is why I think online gaming can be so toxic.
Yep, I agree.
But with that being said, I mean, I am open to playing more Pro Am now. You know, not as much as we have been, but just dipping the toe in once in a while. You know, if it's going to be like the other night, that session was okay.
Yeah, no, that wasn't too bad. I think if we hadn't had such a long break, but when we played the first game, we could have probably been a bit more of a chance in that one. Yeah. Like, if it's something we do once a fortnight or once every 3 weeks, you know, I think...
That's better, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that sort of thing I'd be open for.
And not pushing our luck if it's not our night. Just having a couple of games as well, unless we're really on a roll and feeling enthusiastic about it or whatever. Yeah. But it was good.
Yeah, I think generally for me, like, 3 games, you know, that sort of gives a good guide whether it's an off night or not.
Yeah.
You know, if we try and push it to 5 or 6 like we've done at times, then yeah, I think that's when we can get frustrated.
Unless we're on a roll, it's just pushing it and getting more frustrated. But yeah, that was our first win for the year, I think. Our first couple of wins.
We were on a 7-game losing streak. In our last 10 that we know of, so yeah,
we could look that up in the stats, but I don't have the PS4 on in front of me at the moment.
I think X checked it, and I think we'd been on a 7-game losing streak,
right? Because we'd also barely played. We gave it up in January, so this is
we had that one session in January,
pretty much. Yeah, one or two sessions at most. I think most of it was in the playground as well. We played one game and decided that's pretty much how it goes. And back to the playground we went, but. But hey, we had a good session, so that's the main thing, that whenever you jump on, that you can enjoy it. I mean, that's the point of video games, as before. Yeah. If they're frustrating you to no end and you're not having fun, then it's not really the experience you're trying to get out of them. So, hey, you know, that was good. And apart from that, I haven't actually been doing much this week, mainly because my internet connection has been so terrible most of the week. I haven't been able to get on.
Terrible, yeah.
have not been able to get on, really, and didn't really want to play anything like Ultimate Team or My Team that does need the online connection for the servers. So I had about a day and a half without any working connection, where I was just using my phone data to get stuff done on the site and do other browsing. Not really suitable for gaming as such.
It's true.
Speed wise it is, but data connection not so data limits on my plan not so much. So I haven't really been doing much gaming apart from Friday night, which is why it was good to get on with you guys and play. But I know you've been playing the live events in Live 18.
Yeah. Well, obviously for the last few weeks, obviously because I've been off with migraines and connection issues and stuff, or just mic issues, I guess, last couple of weeks and that. But yeah, I've been most nights. Not as much like a couple of times this past week, but more so the previous 2 weeks. I'd been playing pretty much every night, the live event run, like stuff like that. So yeah, and had some good fun there. Had some good teammates. Had some bad ones. Had a couple of sessions where like players are all mic'd up and that sort of thing. And I've kind of been tempted to put my mic on, but yeah, no, it was actually good to hear like a couple of people actually talking like. And playing, wanting to play real basketball and not cheddar basketball in that sort of sense. So, and it was disappointing, like when you get the win and you don't get to, because you go back, you don't quite go back to the same lobby as them. So it's like, you kind of want to play with those guys more and that. It's only when you get the loss that you still stick with the same guys. And it's like, I kind of wish it was the other way around.
Yeah. It's frustrating. So that'll be something I might
put in like the wish list and stuff like that, because yeah, there's been a few times where I've had like a good bunch of team players and that, and it's like you kind of want to stick with them a little bit longer, and you know, especially to try and get those wins, and especially when there's only like an hour or so left before the next reward loots and all that stuff become available and that. So but yeah, I've been having fun playing those, and it's good that they've been varied in terms of scoring. Like the first night for when they had one of the first ones was like the 21, and I think a few hours later that I think it took it down to 10. So because I played the next day, and it was kind of during the day, not like when I play normally at night, which is just usually sort of between 10 p.m. and midnight, and usually it's around midnight is when my time is when the loot crate rewards change in that. So so for me, when I do that sort of thing, and when I was playing the next day, yeah, it was kind of interesting, because I was like, oh wait, when I was playing last night it was to 21. But yeah, I like the variation, because you know, then it can make it a little bit more of a challenge and stuff like that. Or you know, and especially again, if you're playing with a good bunch, you know, it gives you more that chance to sort of play with the good group and that thing, and try and play team ball in that sort of sense with a bunch of randoms in that sense. And sometimes you can actually hear some interesting banter, which is funny. And, you know, there'll be little mistakes, and they'll give you a little bit of crap for that and that. But if they can sort of see that it was an error that you intended to make, it was just sort of like you just got caught out on an animation sort of thing, they'll recognize that aspect. So that's good. But yeah, I've been doing that. But I've mainly the past couple of weeks I've been playing some of my backlog of games and that. Like even before and after our Pro-Am session, I think I played about 4 or 5 games that night from just an hour before we started playing till about 3:30 in the morning.
Oh yeah, that's a considerable session then.
Yeah, because I think beforehand I played a couple of games of Fortnite, then a Pro-Am, and then I think I went into, I think I did a bit of Drive Club first, or No Man's, and then I think I ended on No Man's Sky. Oh no, I did live straight after 2K, the Pro-Am session. Did a couple of about 3 or 4 of the live events, and then yeah, I went into Drive Club and then ended on No Man's Sky. So that was my night just on Friday. So that was a good session, because we get a bit of everything in that sort of thing. So yeah,
big session indeed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I want to play more Ultimate Team. Obviously, I'm looking at some of the lineups again that the guys have got in the forum, and mine's looking okay. But they've got a lot of great retro players, and I know, with, you know, I've got my Scottie Pippen now, so I feel very accomplished with that. Does seem that they've fixed the dunk package, which is nice. Last couple of weeks, haven't really been that interested in getting any of the legends, Tim Duncan or David Robinson. Not Tim Robinson, as I initially tried to say last week. Not Tim Duncan and David Robinson. And this week are the Pistons legends. Not that interested in them either. So just
Lester will be disappointed.
oh well, you know, it's I'm a Bulls fan. What can I say? So, I don't really want a Ben Wallace, although he was a Bull. As much as I don't like that period of the career,
that's the time period you want to forget about.
Yeah, it wasn't a great time for the Bulls. Well, his first season was pretty okay, but then the second was a disaster. But it's just a matter of when the packs, the specialty packs come through that I'm interested in, and maybe they'll have something for All-Star Weekend. I certainly hope they do. Line has been pretty good at pushing through the content for Ultimate Team this year and keeping that pretty up to date. So, yeah,
because wasn't Live 16? Didn't that really die out pretty quickly?
It tapered off around about March, yeah. So I mean, we've still got a few months, obviously, left in the season and playoffs and everything. And I assume they'll be doing things for that. But yeah, Live 16 did taper off with the content, so I hope they do continue it.
Well, given too that this game released a month earlier, it's kind of on par around that time then.
Yeah, I guess it is, and certainly, I think there's been more interest and enthusiasm for the game this year as well. So I think it is going to. I mean, they were obviously looking at what they were going to do for Live 17, the drive to NBA Live, and then obviously what became pushed all the way back to Live 18, the most successful release in this generation, I would say. So
yeah.
I think they will continue. I certainly hope they do anyway, but I think they will continue that content that they hadn't before.
I think they will. I think given that the success of the game, in terms of like getting online, you're seeing a lot of people who actually enjoy playing in that. It's not as frustrating in that as maybe like 16, 15, and 14 were in that sort of thing. And so, yeah, I think they'll continue on, obviously. I think that they've got a good enough user base that's still playing the game. Suggests that, yeah, I think that they will.
Certainly. And again, All-Star Weekend is coming up, so All-Star content would be pretty good. In Ultimate Team, I'm not expecting them to add a dunk contest or anything, although if they did surprise us with that, that would be incredible. But I do think that is going to be a Live 19 thing, if anything, All-Star Weekend. But again, as we've said before...
You never know this year, given what they've added. So
I suppose so, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself. You know, I know I said that about roster editing, but it is getting a bit later in the year, and Live 19 is obviously well underway in pre-production, I would have to imagine, at this point. So I won't get too excited until I start hearing some rumors and rumblings about that particular one. Although then again, you know, Erica kind of dropped that on us one night
at our
time. And so, hey, you know, whatever positive surprises Live has, that's the main thing. But yeah, they do need to fix up those rosters, if nothing else, in the short term. That I think is priority number one over the next 7 days or so. So before we wrap up episode number 235 of the NLSC podcast, time to talk a little bit about what's going on in the real NBA. I guess we kind of mentioned it at the beginning of the show, talking about roster updates for the video games, but the Blake Griffin trade to the Pistons, it seems that the Clippers, they're just starting over, I guess. You know, Chris Paul left in the offseason to go to the Rockets via that trade. He wanted out. They talk about the moving DeAndre Jordan. That hasn't happened yet, but they moved on from Griffin, and it seems that they are kind of going into a tank and rebuild mode, although they did beat the Bulls, which is not a tremendous accomplishment at the moment, but they contributed more to the Bulls' tanking efforts today rather than their own. But yeah, it does seem that the Griffin era is over, and it's been, I guess, the most successful era the Clippers have ever had, the Blake Griffin era, but it has come to a close.
Yeah, well, I can sort of thinking about it earlier today, and that was, you know, they've had a couple of issues, like obviously the instances with some of the trainers and stuff like that, like, even like scenes of the videos where he's like kind of suggestively put one of the medic guys' heads in an awkward place and it was kind of caught on camera. So yeah, I mean, maybe there was a few little behind the scene instance and stuff that we just sort of led to like maybe it's time to move on sort of thing. So, but yeah, that trade did come out of nowhere. Like that's a big surprise. Like I said, the focus was more on where DeAndre was going to go, you know.
Mm.
So that was an interesting thing when that happened.
Hey, I mean, Griffin's one of those players that, depending on who you talk to, is either overrated or underrated, and kind of gets both depending on who's talking about him. I think he's a fine player. I don't know if he's a franchise player or ever will be. I know people said that about Zach Randolph, and he turned into quite a valuable player for the Grizzlies, you know, after his early I guess, knuckleheaded moments, although there were still some of those up to and including this past off season when he had the legal problems. But yep. I mean, Griffin is a fine player and has a good skill set. And I think the Pistons,
and he's entertaining with the highlight packages, and you know that kind of brings people in terms of seats.
The Pistons are kind of struggling, and it's so to team him up with Drummond and some of the other players they've got there at the moment. I think it's worth rolling the dice. If you have an opportunity to get a player like Blake Griffin for the players that they got him for, I think you go for it. Really, you know, it's like when the Bulls got Dwayne Wade. I mean, was it 5 or 6 years too late? Absolutely, but it was worth a shot. And I think Griffin,
I think Dwayne Wade had a pretty good. Like, there was always going to be a small level of decline, but I still think he actually played well last year for the Bulls and that.
Oh yeah, I don't regret them taking the chance on Wade. I mean, it just wasn't going to be as successful as if they got him in, say, 2010, you know, in the big free agency of 2010 or whatever, but
true.
It is what it is in that respect. Definitely worth it for the Pistons to take a gamble on that. For the Clippers, I mean, the big thing there is of course, Doc Rivers, all the allegations about his nepotism for Austin, his son Austin, and apparently that's what drove Chris Paul out of town, and of course there was the denial of that from Doc Rivers' children. So I mean, that's they're credible sources on defending their father.
It's like Trump and his kids.
I read that in the off season, and I was like, well, okay, yeah, that's of course they're going to come to his defense. And hey, admittedly we're not in the locker room, but you know, I'm pretty sure that. There's been too much talk of that, you know, to say that there's where there's smoke, there's fire.
Going to use the same reference.
So I think that's going to be the big thing moving forward. I mean, they're talking about clearing cap space and going after someone like LeBron, but if you're LeBron or indeed any other high profile free agent, do you want to go to a team with that kind of dysfunction with a head coach and GM is kind of having that nepotism for his son and there are these issues, you know. I don't know that you want to do it, so I think that's the big issue now, that Doc Rivers could very well drive people away.
Yeah, well, similar thing in terms of the Lakers. You know, they're trying to lure Paul George and LeBron, and given the whole LeVar situation, it's like, will those two really want to go into that media circus and that sort of thing? And would that be a drawing card realistically for them to want to sign, especially long term? It's like, for me, I don't see it. Like, if the Lakers did get rid of Lonzo, I think just to get rid of LeVar, I could see, you know, a clearer path that they would actually go to the Lakers. But yeah, I
think drama turns people away. I think it's really hurt the Bulls over the years, the dysfunction in the front office. You know, the fact that they won championships back in the day, but they almost seemed to win it in spite of some of the dysfunction that was going on with management. So I think that has hurt them as much as anything else in their rebuilding years. And you look what the Bulls have just done, trading away Mirotic, who was the player who got knocked out by Bobby Portis in that altercation. You know, Bobby Portis is the one being kept around, and Mirotic wanted out, so I guess that's kind of, their hands are a bit tied there, but they've got the first round pick for him, Ashik, who maybe they'll buy out the other players, literally the buyout, or they expire. Tony Allen and who else came over? They've both got expiring contracts anyway, except for Ashik, who started his career with the Bulls, funnily enough, all those years ago. It's hard to get excited until that draft pick turns into something, I suppose. But there's just so much dysfunction, and the trading away of the pick that became Jordan Bell, who's playing pretty well in limited minutes for the Warriors, you know, a great pickup for the defending champions and the really strong team in the Warriors that the Bulls could have had. Just little moves like that, it's hard to trust Garpax, as I've said many times, and when we've talked about NBA stuff on the podcast before and in the forum as well. I guess it's not the worst deal, but the worst part of anything that Garpax does is that even when it's good, you're waiting for them to follow it up with a really bad move.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, this was good. So how are they going to stuff it up? Like, okay, are they going to now trade Markkanen and the first round pick for nothing on draft day this year? I mean, are they going to take another two steps back with a stupid move now that they've made a shrewd one? Yeah. And since you have to rebuild through the draft, you really can't be giving up picks like they have, you know, even second round picks. You need to be hoarding as many picks as you can. Look what the Celtics did with that, hoarding picks. So Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't have a lot of confidence, sadly, in the front office right now.
I can picture the scene like when, like if the Bulls were trying to go after Trae Young or something like that. But I have the moment of like when Lisa's doing the babysitting and Chief Wiggum and his wife are about to go out, and Lisa goes, "Oh, go and enjoy." Was it Bob Seger or Saget? And it's the wrong one when Chief realizes it was he bought the tickets to the wrong act, and he has that sort of like, "Oh," when he realizes it's the wrong Bob that he wanted to go see. You remember that episode?
Absolutely, yeah, I do. It's,
I could just sort of see that sort of moment happening in sort of sense.
Jokes on Wiggum, because Bob Saget is actually a pretty funny comedian and did a great job narrating How I Met Your Mother, of course, for years. the future voice of Ted, oddly, even though I don't know how Josh Radnor turned into Bob Saget in the future, but yeah, no, but it is like that. It is like that. Just having a hard time. Trusting them, basically, but it is what it is, and if nothing else, they're back to their tanking ways.
But, yeah, they're kind of Miritic, when he returned from after being punched and that, he kind of spurred the Bulls onto a pretty decent winning streak, didn't he?
And it was good to see, but bad to see at the same time, basically.
Yeah, it's like, wait, you're screwing up the system, so you got to go.
The race in the East is kind of interesting, though, because you got the Pistons are just outside the playoff picture, and we'll see if they've won three in a row, in fact. With Griffin now on board, although I think there's only one with him when he's playing. 76ers is still holding on to that eighth spot at the moment. Miami was a couple of wins out from overtaking Cleveland for the third spot, but then they lost a couple and have dropped down to seventh. That's how close the race in the East is at the moment.
Wow.
It's just, everyone, if you drop a couple or win a couple, you can really spring up or down. The Cavs have lost their last one. They are 4-6 in their last 10. Yeah, Kevin Love is out with a broken hand, actually, and he's not going to have surgery. He's going to be out for 8 weeks. So that could be tough. I mean, LeBron hasn't... They were talking about LeBron's great numbers and how he's having a historical season. The last couple of weeks, not so great, actually. You know, he's struggled a bit. The team has struggled, and with Love out...
Especially with defense, that's where they're sort of really pinpointing that it's one of the weakest defensive teams.
Mm. And...
Yeah, and LeBron being one of the weakest defensive players at the moment.
So they're in third place at the moment, just a half game ahead of the Wizards, who have won four in a row. So they're coming
up. And that's without Wall, isn't it?
It is, yes. Pacers still there. Bucks in the hunt as well. Again, it's just such a close race that a short run of good or bad play, a few wins or losses in a row at the moment, will really just change the complexity of the... complexion, I should say, of the Eastern Conference. Bulls still hovering there. Oh, they've lost six in a row. So the tank is on. So there you go. But they were the worst in the league, unfortunately. The Magic, the Hawks, and the Kings and Mavericks, even the Suns are below them. So they're not doing well at tanking. They're pushed too far towards mediocrity, unfortunately. And it's gotten to the point where the West is a bit stronger than the East again with the records at the moment. Eighth seed in the West, Denver. Kenny's Nuggets, 28-25. Clippers have dropped out, even though they are 26-25, above 500. So, looking at interesting to see Houston, actually, because people are talking about maybe this is the year that Houston takes out the Warriors. I'm going to have to see it to believe it, because we've said that before, and then comes playoffs time, that the Warriors, just that better well-oiled machine, and they get it done. But...
And James Harden does have that tendency to choke in big game sevens. So.
He has had that before, absolutely. But
and it's not just once, it's pretty much his entire career.
But he has, of course, Chris Paul perhaps is the stabilizing factor this year. They're just a couple of games behind the Warriors. They beat the Cavs. I think they beat the Warriors the other day, did they not?
I think so.
So, I mean, it's possible. And you look at the East... I think the Celtics could come out of the East, to be honest, or even the Raptors. The Raptors are very quietly second in the East at 35-16. They're only 6-4 in their last 10. But again, most of the East is actually 6-4 or 4-6 in their last 10, except for the first and eighth seeds, which are both 5-5. So everyone's kind of been even in the West, but in the East, I should say. But a short run in the last few games has changed the standings. as of this time. But yeah, Celtics, I can see it. And Hayward is shooting around and walking with that boot. He could be back for the playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be good timing for them. And then, you know, adding that extra stability in the roster and that extra go-to guy. So,
and you talk about dysfunction with the Cavs. I mean, you go back to Kevin Love, the player meeting the other week where he just seemed to be the punching bag. He was taking the abuse for all the struggles the team is having, and you know, maybe that's why he's not having surgery and just sitting out the 8 weeks. He's kind of saying, well, if you're not appreciating me, well,
yeah,
let's see how you do without me. But you noted the defense. The Cavs, despite being 30-21 and third in the East at the moment, and so obviously having a very strong run at one point, actually the differential of minus 0.3 points per game. They're actually giving up more points than they are scoring, slightly, just by 0.3 of a point on average at the moment, obviously. But it does go to show how the defense has been lacking in recent weeks and why they have struggled so much.
Yeah, and, you know, there was also, in regards to Cleveland, you know, that from what I saw from within that, I think an ESPN radio host or at least commentator in that, he was saying that, Kyrie at the beginning, you know, Kyrie was thinking about sitting out the season, but going to take surgery on his knees for when he probably really didn't need it, you know, just so to sit out, just not play for the Cavs before the trade and that.
So there definitely seems to be some dysfunction there that, again, you ask, will LeBron leave? You know, I didn't think he would, and certainly his legacy is pretty strong even if he doesn't. You know, according to some, he's already the greatest of all time, but according to a lot of people say some stupid things from time to time. the point is, I disagree with that particular assertion. But I wouldn't have thought he would. I thought, okay, he's staying put in Cleveland now, but maybe, you know, especially if that dysfunction is there in the front office and some like David Griffin moving on and everything like that, which LeBron supposedly wasn't happy about. So it's a possibility, and I wouldn't be surprised if they came out of the East, but I don't think it's as likely now. I am looking at teams like the Celtics and the Raptors and thinking, hey, it's definitely a possibility, and maybe this season is a bit more open than previous years.
Yeah, I think so. It is definitely more of a off-field sort of scenario that seems to be driving this in sort of thing, more than on-field performance. I'm wondering, like, obviously with trade deadline coming up, you know, who's going to stay in Cleveland? And that even includes Tyronn Lue. And like, is he there much longer as well? Are they going to look for someone else before the season ends in that sort of sense as well?
You mentioned DeAndre Jordan. He's been linked to trade rumors involving Tristan Thompson, for example. So
yeah,
that's I guess a possibility at this point. So it's
that was the LeBron thing. Like, he made sure that Cleveland paid that much to get him, to secure him, and
absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, that's, and I think even his agency actually represents him as well. So yeah, that's kind of not looking good in terms of that side of things. And again, this is sort of something that ESPN sort of commentator was alluding to in that sort of sense, and saying, you know, an element of responsibility / getting the news out to the people or leaking it, sort of scenario, like stories and all that stuff, and how it's not quite like, well, just the paper trail and that of who's potentially leaking it isn't very solid and all that stuff.
It definitely some dysfunction, basically. I'm looking at Portland at the moment. They're 29-23 as of this recording. They have lost their last one, but they are sixth in the West. Again, quietly, just having a pretty decent season. Lillard is an all-star, a constant all-star snub. Damian Lillard basically gets it this time. And of course, his backcourt mate, CJ McCollum, 50 points the other day against the Bulls. Who else? But he did it in less than 30 minutes, joining Klay Thompson, I believe, as the only players to do that in 50 or more in less than 30 minutes. So that was, he had 28 in the first quarter. So that's
a huge effort. No. Yeah, he had a ridiculous game, and I can't remember. It was the Harden thing last week where he scored the 60 triple double.
Oh, that was this week as well. Yeah, the 60 points triple double. to get 60 points and over 10 assists is pretty remarkable, especially with the players out. They're out of that game as well. But
I only see that happen in my career.
those are some video game numbers, and I think it speaks to the pace of the game and the style of play these days. But it's pretty eye popping numbers, and of course he is the NBA Live 18 cover player and a former NBA 2K16, one of 2K16's cover players, of course. So,
And the mobile app cover.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess a pretty good choice for EA. I know he's not perhaps most popular on the podcast, but I know he's not one of your favorites, and I don't mind Harden, but I guess he's not one of my favorites. But he does have some talent. The knock against him has always been that he's been, to quote Jeff Van Gundy, a disinterested defender.
Well, he's probably got a better level of defense compared to like LiAngelo or LaMelo Ball. So, given I've heard the stories about their lack of defense, given that they're saying that, JJ Redick had probably one of the worst defenses that they've seen, but he makes it look like.
It makes him look
like an all star.
Gary Payton out there, yeah.
Yeah.
But McCollum not an all star this year. He took the Lillard route and took it to heart and took it out of the Bulls with 50 points. And
Well, that's even like Simmons when he didn't get it. You know, he gets that triple double the next game.
Oh, that incredibly fast triple double I was watching, Australian Heritage Night, I think they called it as well. So that was.
Yeah.
Because I watched the game because it was against the Bulls, of course. you want some big numbers this year, watch a Bulls game. So they televised that, and I noticed they had the kangaroo on the stanchion. I was wondering, that's a bit interesting. And then they mentioned it was Australian Heritage Night because it was just before Australia Day. So
It was like the day before
Australia Day,
because they obviously have a game on the day. So
or two days before our time, basically, or their time, 2 days before their time. But they didn't have the game of the day, so they had that, so that was cool of them to do. So, some big numbers. Obviously, I still think he's got to be one of the front runners for Rookie of the Year. I know Kuzma and Mitchell, they're doing well as well. But I think Simmons has still got a very strong case.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's obviously, aside from today's game, actually, he had a double double. So, and a fair amount of assists. So, since the snub, he had that 19, 14 and 17, 21 and 7 and 5, 22, 7 and 4, 16, 5 and 6, 24, 7, 26 and 5, and then obviously today's 10, 11 and 6. So he's been playing well. I mean, he didn't shoot the ball obviously too great today, only shooting 30.8%, but he's.
It's just got to get that jump shot going, and the free throws, I think, is the big thing, getting that shooting touch just so he's more all-around. But he's got a fair amount of all-around skill, just that polish to the offensive game, the all-around offensive game, basically. But hopefully that will come, especially if he's playing point guard, because you really need to be able to stretch the floor and knock down shots. Although, as good as he is at getting to the rim, he does need to have that the shooting touch. If nothing else, from the free throw line, because he is going to get fouled inside, and you need to convert at a higher rate than, 51, 52%, whatever he's shooting at the moment. It's only slightly better than Lonzo, basically. Both of them need to be shooting a lot better than that as point guards in today's
game. It's 56.3%.
Up to 56? Okay, I mean, that's still kind of Shaq levels. There's LSU for you. That's don't do free throws, apparently. Well, Pete Maravich, I was pretty good from foul line from memory, but nevertheless. So,
He does only go to the free throw line about 4.5 times a game. I think... not saying James Harden where he gets to the line like 13 times a game, but if he got up to about six and a half times a game, then definitely that gives him obviously more of a chance to sort of improve on the ability to hit the free throws and that. So the more practice in that,
So we're basically past the halfway point of the season, technically, with the number of games played. Of course, the official halfway point is the All-Star game that's coming up. Guess it's all going to heat up in the second half. But just a shame we do have some injuries, like Boogie Cousins being out with the ruptured Achilles. That's definitely a tough blow there.
Yeah, for sure. it's been actually quite a few injuries this season, which is a shame.
But not like a few years ago where everyone was doing their ACLs and MCLs. Yeah, seemed to be a problem back then. But I mean, it's just the nature of the sport. But
that's true.
But yeah, hopefully we don't see too many more injuries and we see some more great boss ball on the way out. Before we wrap up the show, I just wanted to talk a little bit about merch from Arcane Apparel, of course. Ben, you wanted to, because again, you haven't been on the show for a couple of weeks, so we haven't been able to bring it to the attention with all the details that you have on this shirt. So I'll turn it over to you to talk a little bit about our merch.
Okay. Obviously, I'd put up about 8 designs for fan voting. One of the shirts I originally had in like a black and white colorway, I did alter it to the blue because I was going to go the royal blue for our shirts and that sort of thing. So I wanted to sort of see if that would get a better response in terms of it. Voting, there's actually quite a few responses that I was really happy about. But the one that had the most response was the Pro-Am logo shirt that we have. So that one's in production at the moment, and along with another shirt design that I have. And I have an idea for pricing, but there's a couple of factors. One of the shirts, like the Arcane branded one, with the signature pose and that, because I'm using a metallic gold screen print, it's going to be a very small additional cost per shirt. But what I want to try and do is, if you wanted to buy the LSC one and the Arcane one at the same time, I can make it a couple of bucks cheaper. But yeah, again, this is to all try and help raise money for the LSC's hosting costs and stuff like that, keep revenue up, so that way we can go on for another 22 years now, isn't it?
21, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this would be 22 years.
22 years. So that's sort of the goal of it. The shirt should be ready probably in about 4 weeks because I did submit some extra designs a couple of days ago. And I want them to be sent at the same time. So it's not going to be an exact 4 weeks. It's probably closer to 5 when they start to get sent, which is good because that gives me time to build a set for photo shoot stuff for it. And there's about 35 of each shirt that I'm getting made up. For the consumers, I'm getting a couple made up for myself personally in that sort of sense. So yeah, there'll be about 35 of each shirt, ranging from small to 3XL. The 3XLs are a little bit bigger than I thought in terms of it. Like compared to the long sleeve shirt, the Prime Elite shirt that we have, which I still have one or two left. So yeah, there'll be a slight size difference in that. I'll have the measurements, especially because I've got to convert it into inches because I have the centimeter sizing at the stage. So I'll have that ready. In the meantime, too, we're looking at, from discussion, I think we were looking at potentially having some element on the actual site where you could probably purchase them from.
Yeah, we'll see if we can work something out so it's easily accessible. Yep.
Yep. I'll try and have a very basic model of my site up, hopefully in the next month. I'll, hopefully try and look at buying the domain. I have a little bit more revenue at the moment to be able to do this. So thanks to a tax return with the help of X. So thank you for that. whether I look into doing that over the next few weeks and buy the domain and hosting, and then just sort of build the site up gradually over the next few months to get it where I want it to be. I was looking at this is a small off note thing in regards to that. I was actually looking at a grant thing, but turns out you actually got to have the same amount of money up front for the grant. So I might be able to do a way where I can, because I might still be able to work it in a certain way, just get the equivalent of what I spend, and whether that be on the website. So that might be a way I could do it. I'll look into that a bit more. So that might help as well, where I can get back some of that revenue in that sort of sense. So that can help things.
So in the meantime, what's the best way that people can hit you up about the shirts?
Well, at the moment, they can inquire by emailing me at arcaneuniforms@gmail.com. The goal is to have, obviously, when I move to the site and have a dedicated email, or eventually to transition all the emails to a dedicated one. But I'll keep, the goal will be to have that email up for the rest of the year. And then for 2019, is it'll obviously, you can email, would be able to email me at both, but to get rid of that email address, or not use it entirely for that stuff by the end of this year. So email at this stage for if you want in size inquiries or pricing inquiries, especially in the next few weeks, will be arcaneuniforms, all one word, at gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter and even check out the Facebook page as well. I'll have those links up on the site where you can take a look at stuff and sort of see what's available. Again, any of the other LSC gear, like the uniforms, if you want your username and stuff and number, preferred number on it, those can be made up straight away. They just take about 4 weeks. So you can, if you wanted to, you can, you know, put all that order through and, you know, can try and get it to you all at the one time. Yes, do international sales. I will be setting up, actually I'll make a priority this week that I go to my bank where I can actually set up the international account straight away. So I'll arrange to have that done by Wednesday, Thursday the latest. But again, use the email addresses to contact me. Sort of give me an idea of what size you're looking for, and I can, if I haven't put up the conversion size by, say, tomorrow night, or tomorrow night, so Monday/Tuesday your time, let me know, and I can give you a rough conversion of the size. We can go from there. If you needed anything else in regards to the sizing stuff or other things, like with the uniform stuff, I can send you those sizing charts, and can get the order rolling in from there.
Excellent. And of course, again, we also have information posted in the forum and on your social media, so don't be afraid to hit us up and check it out. And we will have that that page set up as well with more information, so stay tuned for that. We'll definitely keep everyone informed as we do that.
But it's a big month for my brand at the moment, so there's a big announcement coming in the next few weeks that's happened, getting to the stage now where setting up a studio in the next month as well for the product catalog shoots and stuff like that that's looking like a really good start to this year and where I want to try and be by the end of March in that sort of sense. So and again, selling these shirts helps build the next phase in that sense. So it'd be good to get a few sales in that sort of sense. Realistically, I don't expect to sell all 35 to be on it, like, straight away. I think given like what happened with the long sleeve shirts, I expect to sell, say, approximately half and have it for more when the site's ready in the long-term aspect. So I kind of knew I was buying a few extra for the long-term, hopefully gain in that sort of sense, for when I have the site up and running, that I actually have stock that people will be actually, you know, click now and I can actually send it straight away, as opposed to waiting a few weeks like the customizable stuff. So
definitely.
So I'll keep everyone posted over the next few weeks, but I wanted to let everyone know the shirts are in production now. Shouldn't be too much, should be about 4 weeks time from now. Looking forward to sharing more, obviously, with everyone and how they turn out. And hopefully get a few sales. Again, not just to sort of obviously help me in that sort of sense, but help the site and the community and that sort of thing. And, potentially even do, you know, one as a giveaway kind of thing as well. So, you know, there'll be incentive things like that to try, you know, keep it out there. And from what I've heard, like, the people that have received it have been really happy with what they've got from when I did the giveaway for the Madden thing, and obviously from what you guys have had as well with the terms of the apparel stuff.
Definitely.
So when I've get, so yeah.
So once again, stay tuned for more information. Don't be afraid to hit up Ben on his on the Arcane Apparel accounts about that, and we'll have more information as it comes through. But yes, that's brought us to the end of episode number 235 of the NLSC podcast. Good to have you back on the show. So I'm not monologuing.
It's good to be back.
Not to be monologuing to myself. And again, happy to keep the streak going while you guys were out. I do actually have a guest host lined up if we need one in the future, just in the worst case scenario. And look, if we do have to miss a week, sometimes it may happen. We can't promise it'll never happen. But looking to do our streak throughout the year as much as possible. And hey, we're still alive for this year, I guess, for the podcast.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you enjoy the podcast, we encourage you to tune in each and every week. You can listen to us, you can subscribe to the show, I should say, on iTunes. We're also on the Stitcher app for iOS and Android devices. Search for NLSC Podcast, look for the logo. That's us. However you want to tune in, whether it's through the Stitcher app or iTunes or indeed just streaming it on the NLSC itself, as long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying a conversation about basketball and basketball video games, that's the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And as always, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But that is going to do it for this week. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcade.
And we're out, but the streak continues.
Go Patriots.